Hello, everyone. I'm going to, this is going to aggravate me. This cord is going to sit there and jack all over the place. We are doing our live Q&A today. Let me get all my screens pulled up so that I know where my questions are and all the good stuff. Let me go over a couple announcements while we wait for everybody to come on in. We are this Sunday, November 15th. Is the last day to register for January camp and to get the special wine and vision board party bonus with me. So if you're going to want to attend that and do vision boarding, watch me do my vision board, get the ultimate No BS Woman digital vision board pack, all that's included. If you sign up before November 15th, which is this Sunday, you'll need to get signed up before midnight. That class will be on January the 15th at 5 p.m. You might even, while we're doing class, maybe even Mr. Crabtree will bake us something. He is now baking. We have become the biggest fans of the great, the Great British Bake Off, whatever that show is. We cannot get enough of it. We're in season 4. Chris and I tend to, like, if we binge, we're binge watching something. So we are enthralled with this show. And we have ordered everything you could ever need to bake something. And last night we made our first thing. I made a beautiful quesadilla ring found on Pinterest because I have become Martha Stewart overnight. And then Chris baked a lemon poppy seed bread. So we were just in the kitchen, getting all meta, listening to Chopped while we were chopping away. So it was really cool, really fun. Let's see, what else did I want to announce? Make sure, this is something I did want to tell you guys. Please, if you want to register for camp, just go to pmptribe.com. At the top is a banner right now, or you can go to the events button on your menu. One of the things I did want to say, I was thinking about you guys and my assistant, Emily, was we were just kind of talking back and forth a little bit about the holidays and a couple of things that I want you guys to think about because we are doing the Handling the Holidays program right now. And a lot of the, you know, for a lot of you, this year is very different. You know, it's COVID. You're not going to get to see the people you normally do. I have a call this Saturday on creating a doable holiday plan because we have a lot of thoughts around what we can and can't eat during the holidays. And I was sitting there thinking about one of the things I don't want any of you to do, which I think this year could be extremely risky, and that is trying to do the holidays alone with your weight loss. I know that overeats go up during the holidays. It's just normal. You're going to be around more of your triggers. You're might going to be around, like, and when I say triggers, I don't just mean food. You're probably going to be around more trigger foods that you don't practice all day, all year long, and you don't know how to stop, like, eating those particular foods when you first get them. You're also going to be probably around a lot of trigger situations where if you are a mom who practices a lot of perfectionism or people pleasing, you're going to be trying to buy all the things, decorate all the things, and do all the things to make everyone happy, which is going to raise your stress level. If you're focused on, I'm going to fuck it up, so I better go do a lot of things that they'll like in hopes that they'll all like me. You're also going to be around a lot of trigger people who, you know, a lot of times we don't, sometimes you just don't see your asshole brother or that uncle who always has snarky shit to say, or, you know, just there's all kinds of things you're going to be around. So my best advice, other than to take the Handle in the Holidays program, because we do cover a lot of that in there. If you don't know where to go, all you have to go is pnptribe.com, log in, click on the Handling the Holidays bonus course. It's 4 short videos and a little workbook that's going to help you figure out how to navigate tough situations and stuff. But the one thing that I don't want any of you to do is going it alone. So the ways to combat that are, number one, just because you might be overeating or you might have a lot of, I should be doing better, oh my God, I'm backsliding, whatever's coming up there, don't quit, no BS, in the middle of a pity party. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you're going to quit, like your reasons, like legit like your reason. I've lost all my weight. I've used everything. I've tried all the things. It's really not for me. Cringe mouth. I just can't get over the cussing. Whatever it is. Like your reasons. Here's what I see most is people quit because they're being hard on themselves, or they think that they're a failure, or they talk themselves down so much that they want to quit to experience the relief of being an asshole to themselves. You think that just giving up is so much better than continuing this beatdown. The problem is you never solve the original problem, which isn't the weight loss. It's that you're fucking hard on yourself. And rather than reaching out, you retreat in. So one thing that always happens this time of year is I see more people quit. And then guess what they want to do in March? They want to pay $289 again to get back in. Because they realize that they were just seeking relief instead of seeking help and a solution. So I just want to put that out there because it's real important for you guys. Like, I'm not going to make anybody stay in my program. We got women who are begging to get in every single day. And I'm not open all the damn time. I got people that will say, hey, if somebody quits, can I have their spot? Well, I don't do that. I'm like, no, it's a no. Should have fucking joined in September when she did, or last June when she did, or last year when she did. That's the cold hard truth. So I turned down a lot of people. And we have so many people that come back because they realize they just felt bad about themselves and they left. And they allowed the self-loathing to cloud their long-term vision of what they wanted. The other thing is a lot of you are in accountability groups. And when you're not perfect, what's the first thing you do? You don't show up in your accountability group because you're not doing it right. You're ashamed. Guys, shame will always make you hide. Your accountability groups are not there for your perfect days. That's not why we give them to you. Otherwise, that would be the criteria. You can't have one until you're doing it right. We give them to you immediately because your accountability group's job is to help you problem solve, to help you see the next best decision when you're stuck beating yourself up over yesterday's decision. Your accountability group's job is to help you stay focused on moving forward. It is the exact time to be talking to them. Hell, I'd rather y'all only show up on your bad days than to go in there every day like, hey, here I am, it's perfect again. It's fine if you're having great, like I'm not like disparaging anybody who's doing it right. Be the motivator, be the cheerleader. But all you accountability groups out there that have some rogue individual that you know has gone dark and is ghosting you, get busy finding them. Reach out, annoy, tag, whatever you need to do. This time of year, we're not leaving anybody hanging. And if you're that person who's out there like, my accountability group's going to come looking for me, I'm the one she's talking about, be prepared. I'm sending the no BS army after your ass. We don't leave no woman behind. Or you could just reach out. Sometimes when it comes to weight loss, the first lesson we have to learn is to quit trying to do it all by ourselves, to quit feeling so bad about ourselves that we think we can't share our journey, to be so embarrassed about our mistakes, to be like, I shouldn't think these things. I shouldn't eat these things. This is not the way I should be. That is a horse bunch of shit. Whatever your experience is right now is the one you're supposed to be having to learn how to not have it anymore. Nobody needs to be ashamed. Nobody. I promise, please just listen to me when I say this. Every one of you, and I cry every time I talk about this. That version of you who loses her weight at one point was you right now. She made these mistakes. She did all of this. And then there was a day when she stopped beating herself up. There was a day she learned and just did a little bit more. That was me when I weighed 250. I could not be Corinne today. And I don't even mean for y'all. I mean Corinne for me. Had it not been for the version of me eating her face off and hating her life. I hated my life when I started. I promise you, most of you, you think you don't like yourselves. You should have been in my brain. As somebody who was going back down the road of wanting to kill themselves and thought they had fucked their life up and had all kinds of just, I literally sat on my couch every day and felt terrible about my life because I'd had a kid. You want to talk about extreme guilt and self-loathing? You got it. And I couldn't be myself today had it not been for just one day thinking, I'm going to have to change something. I couldn't afford to keep sitting there thinking that I was so imperfect. And that me and my future self was so distant. I had to figure it out real quick. Oh, the version of me that gets her shit together starts off as the broken ass bitch you are today. And that's okay. So reach out to your accountability partners. And accountability partners, quit wondering where they are. Go find out. That's why you all have each other. And the last part is if you are in a group you don't like, it's okay. I'm going to say this 1,000 times to you guys. I have one person on our team. I literally pay her to do one primary thing. Wait to see when people want an accountability group, put them together, and hand magic hat sort you. That is Heidi's job. She has nothing more important to do ever than to do that job. Not every weight loss membership will pay a human to sit around and wait for people who need somebody and find them a buddy. I just know that weight loss is incredibly harder when you're trying to do it alone. And I know because I did it alone, and I don't want that for any of you. I was just fortunate enough that, like, I didn't have any friends at the time. I mean, I had my one girlfriend who would go walking with me sometimes, but honestly, she wasn't there through most of my journey. I love her to death. But she is always thin. I wasn't going to call her up and talk about my weight loss issues. Chris didn't get in my way. He supported me, but he wasn't checking in with me on the daily. My ass had to do it all. And I gladly sit back and delight in the version of me that showed up every fucking day despite what her douchebag brain wanted to think. I mean, I went through all the embarrassment. I went through all the shame. I went through all the you can't do this and this is going to be too hard and oh my God, you're not going to get all the ice cream you want tonight. Like, everything that you guys think, y'all wonder why it feels like I reach inside your soul and speak to you? It's because this ass thought all of it and still does at times. It's no big wonder how that happens. I'm not a mind reader. I went through the bullshit fire myself. My job is to make it easier on you. And I will tell you, trying to go it alone is just hard. I was like, oh, weight loss is so much fun. I want to just make it harder. It's too easy. Let me just go by myself. Try to blaze my own goddamn trail. No. So don't. Don't do that to yourself. Reach out to your accountability partners. Accountability partners, go find them. If you don't like your group, you don't have to go in there and be like, you bitches suck, I'm out. Like that. All you have to do is just say a kind goodbye. Just say, you know, I kind of been thinking, I'm going to try another group and just see what happens. I'm going to tell all of you, if your accountability partner wants to leave to go find something better for her, that does not mean something is wrong with you. So none of, like, you all have my big-ass Catholic blessing over here to not sit there and be in the diaper that somebody wants to go find another group. Y'all ain't meshing. It's okay. And then you, who's going to leave, I give you my big-ass Catholic blessing. It's fine. They're not wilted flowers. They got every opportunity to go find another group just like you. So many of our groups say, it took me 2 or 3 groups and I found my lifelong friends. We're no BS women. Here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to take accountability bullshit personally. We're just not. You get to think and feel how you want. If somebody leaves because they want to go find something else, this is what you get to think. Good, I'm free to go find what I need. Period. End of story. If I don't teach y'all anything, it's to stop making everything a big-ass problem about you. It's just not. You are not less than because of anything that happens in the world. Draw a line in the sand today that you're going to stop that line of thinking. All right, that was like my, I don't think I had anything else. Oh, I do. Welcome to my new coaches. I totally forgot to welcome the new coaches. I got off on a tangent. We have 3 new coaches. You should have gotten an email that was introducing all of them. If you didn't get your email, just email us at support@pnptribe.com. We'll make sure that you're getting your email. We can fix all that. They're also going to be posting inside the Facebook group, introducing themselves over the next week. And we made a post that kind of tells you a little bit about them. It's in the announcements inside the Facebook group. And then once we get beautiful pictures of all of us and stuff, we will be updating the website. So we're going to be getting all that together. But I don't wait for anything to start giving you guys the help you need. So just want to welcome Yesenia, Kim, and Julie to our team. A lot of you are like, where will I see them? They're going to be coaches. So you will see them. They will be answering as coaches. You will see them helping you out in the Facebook group. They'll be using No BS Coaches. You'll see them on some of the calls. They don't start on calls immediately. We like to, like, you know, train people first. So you'll start seeing them on some calls, probably moderating some calls. Eventually, they will do some Q&As or they'll do some worksheet calls. You'll start seeing them everywhere. And then over time, you'll start seeing them also in our private one-on-one coaching program. So when you sign up for private coaching, we just have more and more coaches now. We've been on a wait list for a long time. So we are now gonna, I just decided we're going to have plenty of coaches to make sure that we can give anybody and everybody who wants that one-on-one lush experience where they're just like, girl, I got to tell you, my problems run deep and I need somebody to work with me every week. Like that's what one-on-one coaching is for. It's not for everybody. I know a lot of you don't even know about it, but if you go to pnptribe.com and you go to the coaching tab, Mary Jo, you can put a link in here. There's a one-on-one coaching service that we do offer. And it's really for people who do not want to do big group work. Or it's for someone who is like, I got something I really need to work on. And I need to work on it every single week with a coach. Like I just need someone in my brain constantly. So if that's you and you're interested in it, you can check that program out. It's over there on pnptribe.com. So they will be doing that also. And hopefully we won't have a waiting list for a little while. So, all right, let's get to the questions. Let's see what's going on today. Get my glasses on. Lately, I've been craving more good foods rather than better and best foods. I believe that the stress of our current COVID situation has finally caught up with me. After 14 months of membership and reaching goal, I'm having bad feelings about me craving these foods daily. So first of all, there's nothing wrong with you craving these. I want you to, rather than self-loathe and think something's going wrong, I want you to stay in the space of, here's what I'm noticing. Suddenly I'm wanting foods that before I wasn't wanting as much, because there's nothing wrong with the good foods, but you're noticing a pattern. It's like these other foods that really work for me, I'm no longer wanting those, I'm wanting these. So you're starting to notice that it's probably the stress of COVID. So here's the thing. Stress doesn't catch up to us. COVID doesn't stress us. What happens is there's COVID, there's thinking that you're having now, and there's stress caused by the thinking you're having around the COVID. And the thinking you're having around COVID is raising those cortisol levels, raising your stress levels. And if you don't get relief from the thinking, then it's normal for your mind to go like, oh my gosh, here we are, really stressed. What have we ever done in the past to relieve stress? Especially when we have a lot of it. Your brain never forgets something that worked. Just saying, that's the way the brain works. I was explaining this in another group yesterday. I was coaching in this other group that I do business coaching in once a month. And I was talking about, remember card catalogs at the library? Well, your brain, your habit brain, is like a card catalog. And it used to have a book called How to Stress Eat 101. It also has a book in there called like how to eat best and better foods and live a maintenance life. And so when you start feeling a lot of stress, your brain goes to the card catalog to look up like, all right, What do we do? And now it's got multiple books to check out. Those books never go away. They just sit in there. And sometimes your brain is like, oh, we need the one on how to deal with stress. This is the one called How to Eat Your Face Off When You're Stressed. And it's going and it's getting that book. So what we want to do is now we want to decide, why are we so stressed? What's going on? What's happening in my mind? And you want to spend time figuring out, like, guys, when you're stressed, one of the best hacks I have for you is to ask yourself, all right, this thinking, is it true? This is a Byron Katie hack. A lot of times you're like, yes, it's true. But is it really true? Like, what else could be true? And then your brain has to go to work on finding a different thought that might feel a little bit better, that will poke holes in the truth of the other one. The other hack that I have for this one is a lot of times stress, especially during COVID, will come when you feel like nothing's in your control. You ask yourself, what is in my control and what's not? Anything that's not in your control, you stop stressing and worrying about it. Whatever you list that is in your control, like your mouth, you come up with ways to start putting your mind to focus on the things you actually have control over. It is a good technique to reduce anxiety. It's a good technique to reduce stress. It's a good technique to reduce worry. For those of you who are living in stress, worry, and anxiety right now, you should be asking yourself every single day, today, what do I know that's in my control? And today, what's absolutely not in my control that I keep thinking about? Let your brain have its chance to and write it all down and then say, like, all right, it's been dealt with for the day. I know these things aren't in my control and I'm setting them aside. And these are the things I'm absolutely going to focus on today. There's relief in that. How about we weed out thoughts that don't serve us, just like librarians do with out-of-date books? Here's the thing. Let me just address this. Your out-of-date thinking never goes away. Ever. Now, you may not access it very much, but I promise you there will be a trigger one day. This is what will happen, librarians. You might have gotten rid of the book. And then this like 89-year-old lady's going to come in and she's going to be like, I was here like 5 years ago when you had a book called How to Eat Your Face Off When You Were Stressed. Do you know where that book is? You can't stop the people from coming in and asking. And you'll be like, I do remember that book. We don't have it anymore. But that is enough to just get the ball rolling. Some thoughts just never, I will tell you, some thoughts will change. You know, every now and then you will. But I like to live under the umbrella of most of my thinking is never going to expire or go away. I just get really good at noticing when it comes back and not letting it be wrong, something terrible. And I'm so used to it. And I'm so used to switching gears. I just don't need it anymore. I don't need to pay attention to it. I'm just like, no. And here's why. Just like when I want to eat because I've had a bad day, like my brain would be like, fucking shitty day. We should just, like, let's just eat something. I go through the same things. But the difference now is when I think that, I'm just like, no. And here's why. You can wait like 15 minutes. It's not going to kill you. Just go sit on the couch or do something. Like, that's it. I don't need some amazing thought of like, oh my God, Corinne, you know you've lost all your weight. Well, I don't have to go down Rainbow Ferry Road. I'm just like, it's a no, and here's why. Or I'm just like, yeah, of course I want to eat. When I keep thinking some bullshit, I'm going to want to eat. That's not new. It's also not bad. I'm just thinking I want to eat. That's it. Not that big a deal. All right. I'm wondering if you know anything about body set point theory. I do. Like, do you want to know something about it? This is body set point theory is very controversial as whether or not it is real or not. There's basically as much stuff out there. Here's what I know about it. I never find it useful for people. I think lifestyle point theory. Where do I want my lifestyle set? What do I want for me? I just stay really focused on how I'm living, my choices, what I want, all that kind of stuff. If you, let's say you weigh 150 and you're desperately wanting to be at 140, but no matter what you're doing, you can't get there and you're having to like do all kinds of shenanigans and stuff like that. Rather than thinking this must be my body set point, because usually what I end up seeing people do is they'll say this is my body set point and it makes them feel bad when they think that. Like there's a lot of judgment around it. I would do more questioning on why is the 140 so important? Why is that last 10 so important? What do I think I'm going to feel? What do I think I'm going to be like? What do I think all these things? And where is that missing now? Like, I would much rather see you guys do a lot of work around conversations like that than anything else. Now, if you are coming to January camp, the very first lesson that we're doing, the class that we're going to be doing is, who do you want to be? In fact, I just wrote the class this morning. It's all about figuring out who you want to be and her thinking and feeling, and that we can't wait to get there. I'm introducing a new term that you'll all hear about this over time. We're going to really study it at January camp, called bullshit diet fairyland thinking. And bullshit diet fairyland thinking is where, or fairy tale thinking is where, we have this narrative that when we lose weight, when we lose the next 10 pounds, when we do whatever, we're going to feel so much better. And the problem is that we're thinking we're going to feel better because we don't like what's going on now. we're comparing the two. And that's a problem. Because in order to get to where you want to go, you have to start thinking like that person. Like if the person, like let's say you want to lose 10 more pounds, right? If you think that person is going to, let's say she is going to go shopping and everything's going to fit amazingly. And she's going to be so happy and so thrilled that her clothes fit. Then guess what you have to do now? You have to be able to go shopping and you have to be able to try on clothes. And some of them fit and some of them don't. And when the ones that fit, fit well, you're so happy. And when the ones that don't fit, you think, it's just not me. Those clothes weren't built for me. Because I guarantee what we think is that we're going to lose weight and we're only going to have these amazing shopping experiences. All the clothes will fit. Shopping will just be so much easier. I'll be able to go into these particular parts of the store and stuff. We don't remember that the thin version of us is going to walk in to Target and she's going to grab 5 things. And 3 or 4 of them are going to fit, and one of them is going to make her look like a sausage. Her life is not perfect. So if you don't start learning how to talk to yourself today about clothes and your body, then when you grab an outfit at a size 10, you're not going to be like, yeah, that 4 of them fit. That's amazing. You will get so focused on the one that doesn't. And it will trigger insecurity because you never learned how to not be insecure. It'll start making you wonder, have I lost enough weight? Oh my God, this one size 10 doesn't fit. Does that mean I'm actually a size 12 and the rest of these are a lie? Y'all know what the brain does. It's full of horseshit. So if you don't unwind that shit on the way down and learn how to talk to yourself all the way down, then you set yourself up. And this, like, you get there and it's like, oh my God, I thought it was going to be a fairy tale. It's more like a Freddy Krueger movie over here. And then you're stressed out all the time. Your dream didn't come true. And I will tell you, when you weigh less, yes, it is much easier to have better thoughts about yourself and stuff. But that only lasts for so long till old shitty comes rearing back in. New hotness will last for about 3 months, and then the newness will wear off. It's just like anything. You get a new car, you practically can't stand not driving it for the first month. 6 months later, you don't even think about it. The same thing happens with weight. But we convince ourselves that, no, it's all perfect there. It's all wonderful. I'm so happy there. And so you have to learn how to think about who you want to be. It's not enough to just know what you want to weigh. You got to know who you want to be. All of it. How do you think and react and feel throughout your entire life? Because when you know that, what ends up happening is your goal weight. Like at some point, you just love your life so much, you know when to stop. And it's not based on metrics, what's popular in social media, what doctors tell you, what the world has always said is the standard. It's like you get to be your own standard because you are being who you want to be and living the life you want to live, liking who you are, liking your body. And the more of us that learn how to do that, the more the bullshit standards of what it's supposed to look like all start fading away. Through journaling, I realized that one of my issues with overeating is fear of missing out. Can you share some no BS thoughts to have around fear of missing out? So one of the things that I would do when it comes to FOMO is I would just ask myself, what am I missing out on? Everybody's eating. They're eating something that I like. Now what? If it, like, outside of they're putting food in their mouth and they appear to be satisfied, what else? Most of the time, when we break it down to what we're actually missing out on, it doesn't seem that amazing. But our brains go to, like, oh my God, I'll never get this magic donut. This is the special free one that they brought in. While, like, write down what it is that you're worried you're missing out on. And then ask yourself, is it true? Like, if I don't have this, is it that bad? And why? And then the other thing is, you can actually make like a T chart. So you draw a line at the top and then something down the middle, like a line down the middle. On one side, you just write down what you're worried you're going to miss out on. And then on the other side, you go to bat for why it's really not that big a deal. And, you know, like, the worst that's going to happen if somebody is eating special free donuts and you're not going to have one today, the worst that's going to happen is I have thoughts the entire time while they're eating about the donuts and about how I'm missing out and stuff. That's what's creating my awkwardness. That's what's creating right now me feeling bad. It's not that I'm not having donuts. It's this runaway train of thoughts I'm letting myself have. What most of you do is, like, that part when you are not knowing that you're doing it or not watching it is why all of it feels so bad. Once you get to where you're like, okay, it's like I'm just going to listen to all the crazy my brain wants to put out while I don't eat the special free donuts. That's what I do a lot of times. I don't change any of my thinking. I just listen. And I'm like, yep, that's what I'm thinking today. That's what I got today. That's very different than, like, believing what you're thinking. Like, a lot of times, like, if I saw Chris eating something, like, let's say Chris is eating a hamburger, old me would be like, I hate not being able to eat a hamburger with him. It just feels like we can't even have, like, I can't even have a good time on my date night. There's no way I can enjoy date night tonight without having a hamburger. And I just be like sitting there agreeing with myself. You're fucking sure right. Like, this sucks, Corinne. Like, you should be eating a hamburger. The other version of me now is like, sometimes I'll look at him and be like, he's eating a hamburger. It looks so good. I wish I was having a hamburger. And then there's like, yep. That's what we got today. We're just wishing we had a hamburger. My brain's thinking about this hamburger. My brain's making a big deal out of this hamburger. I don't change the thought except for one little nuance. I just add, my brain's thinking about how important that hamburger is. There's like this level you raise up above the thought, where you're not yelling at yourself, you're not believing yourself, you're not angry with yourself, you're not trying to resist the thoughts, you're not arguing with yourself. You're just like, yep, we're thinking about hamburgers. It's about right. It's 5 o'clock on a Friday night. You got 2 glasses of wine in. Cue hamburger thinking. It's just like when let's say a baby, you have a 6-week-year-old baby. It's like, cue 2 a.m., it's time for that baby to cry. You know you're going to feed it. Do you just go feed it? Now, you might grouse a little bit, but it's like, you know, it's just a lot easier to get through the first 3 months of a newborn if every time you go in there, you're just like, oh, my God, this newborn, is it ever going to stop? Like, if you do all of that, then you go feed the baby. You wake up every day so fucking emotionally worn out. You hate your life. That's what I was doing when Logan was little. But if you're just like, yep, it's 2 o'clock. It's about when he usually wakes up. Slap him on the boob. Let's go. Just go lay here. I don't have to love it. Eventually, you just get to where it doesn't even matter. The other thing that I do with fear of missing out is this is really good for a lot of you. And this is what I do in the mornings is when I'm in this kind of mode. I did a lot of this when I was doing my drinking work because I just, now I have such a good relationship with my wine. Like I literally, it took me so much writing about it is I wrote about what do I miss out on when I do have these things. So like I understand why I want it and I understand like the part of me that whines about it and stuff. And I know that I'm going to watch it and stuff. But on the occasions when I am saying yes, I just want to be real crystal clear and honest with myself about the other side. All the things that I am missing out on in life because I'm eating free donuts. Because I'm not stopping when I've had enough at Thanksgiving. Like during Hanukkah, thinking I have to eat all the food. Now, those are the things you want to think about. Like, what am I missing out on long term, short term? Like, for me, a big one when I was working on like cutting back wine, because I was drinking wine more than I wanted. So, when I say cutting back wine, it wasn't for weight loss. It was because I noticed, I wrote about my wine for a long time. I allowed myself to just have all the wine I wanted. We didn't have to plan it, but I was always going to just, I just spent a long time tracking it. And I wanted to really understand why I was drinking. And I did it from a place where I did not beat myself up anymore. I learned how much wine and what kinds make me feel like shit and which ones, like I can have a mediocre day the next day and which ones I can have a great day the next day. It didn't seem to impact me hardly at all. I learned when I was drinking because I'd had a bad day or I wanted to connect. Or I felt disconnected when I was bored. Like I learned all of that. I also learned through it all the times that I would have my wine and would really enjoy it. I would have an amazing time and love the experience and had no regrets the next day. So I did a lot of really understanding it and then started setting in boundaries around it. Like, this is how I roll. This is what I do now. This is just part of it. And then I got used to the version of me that did all that. I got used to the version of me that still whined when she wanted wine, but it was so much easier to talk to her because I also understood all this other stuff. And I kept telling myself, I know how bad we want it. But I'm really sick and tired of being someone who wakes up the next day with regrets. And I'm really tired of being someone who drinks when it's not fun. I want to be the person who's having fun. I want to be like, I want all of the experience. And when I like really wrote about it and talked to myself about it a lot, it just started happening. I didn't have to have like, all right, and today is the day that I start doing all this. I just naturally started noticing we would go out and it would have been because I had a bad day. And I'd be sitting there and I would feel myself, like I would know I was distracted. I would know that it was because of a bad day. And I would catch myself stopping drinking way earlier than usual. So much awareness was coming around, and these little wins were popping up, these little moments. I started noticing that I would just know I was going to have a bad day. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm just like you guys. There are just certain days I know the stuff on my schedule, and I'm like, yep, this is going to be one of them days. You're going to end the day very tired. And when I say a bad day, I don't always mean like in the shitter, but I just know this is like this will be a day you're going to end the day really tired. So I'd be like, ooh, at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, we should go out tonight. Let's go out tonight. Let's have wine tonight. It'll be a great way to end the day. And as the day would go along, there would be this other voice in my head that would say, I think this is one of those times you might be wanting to drink just because you're going to be tired. And I would start feeling the tired come on. And I would start having the conversation of, do you really want to do that? What would it be like if just today you just tell Chris right now why you have the guts to say, like, let's just stay in. Let's not go out. And I started noticing, I started making those choices more and more and more. I never expected perfection. I never expected anything. I was just taking the same approach that I did when I lost my weight. I was just stacking little wins. I was just letting myself talk myself into the person I wanted to be because I kept writing and examining the person I was and the person I wanted to be. And I did it all without sitting around telling myself what a terrible person I was. That's it. Like, it's, you take the judgment out, all of you. When you take the judgment out, you no longer are in a rush to lose your weight. You're no longer in a rush to get it all right. You're no longer in a rush for perfect plans. All of the rushing ends because the pursuit to get to the weight loss, the pursuit to get to perfection is you trying to outrun the version of you who beats yourself up, the version of you who judges yourself, the version of you who admonishes you and thinks you should be doing it better. You're trying to outrun her. You're not trying to get to the goal to feel better. You're trying to outrun that version of you that you think the goal is going to solve. I promise all of you that your goal weight is not going to make you talk to yourself better. You will just be a thinner outside version of you with the same brain patterns. We have to unwind all of it on the way down. That is why module 2 of No BS is one of the most, like, if it is the most important one of all. It is the secret to unwinding you, to figuring out, who do I want to be in this world? What do I want to think about in this world? What do I want to think about me in relation to this world? It's where all of your power and authority comes. It's where all of your control comes. It's where you really understand how to start feeling things. And for a lot of you, how to start feeling amazing. To quit just trying to play life safe by just feeling neutral. For a lot of you, you don't beat yourself up all the time. You don't have a terrible life. But you for fuck sure don't live it at a volume 10. You don't sit around and delight in yourself all day long. You don't sit there and have lush conversations with yourself. You don't cheer. You don't, like, clap because you left two bites behind. You're just like, yep. You let so much of the amazement of you go by in your life because no one's taught you how to just delight in yourself. Module 2. For all of you who are so scared of it, it's not there to uncover the shit show of you. Some of you will see a lot of thinking and stuff, but that's the best part. When you see the thinking, you learn how to quit feeling it and acting because of it and reacting because of it. You start understanding how it's not real. It's just the thoughts. And if I can be taught to think this, then I can be taught to think something else too. And for all of you living in neutral land, Jesus Christ, there's amazing things to be ahead of you in your thinking. I don't even, like, I know I think great things about me, and I still don't even, like, I was with my mentor all day Monday. She thinks at a level 20. She blows out the level 10. She's blowing the speakers. And I literally said, because I think of me as like pretty much a mind ninja. I'm very proud of myself and stuff. And I'm sitting in a meeting crying, saying, I'm still so desperate to enjoy being me. I get so used to this level of accepting me, this level of being proud, certain areas. I've given myself the blessing to be proud. And in other areas, I keep holding it back as if something bad will happen if I give myself permission to just love me. That's what I'm unwinding. That's what module two does. It lets you uncover all of it. It starts letting you figure out, what is level 10 going to be for me? And how am I going to get there? And that's also what the very first fucking lesson of January camp is going to be. January camp is going to be a lot on the first day about that stuff. We're going to do who you want to be, why you want to be her, and then we're going to set some goals. The first day is all about this process of how to get shit done. And the very first thing is you got to know what you want to accomplish. And the biggest problem most people have is their accomplishments are, here's how much money I want to make. Here's how much weight I want to lose. Here's how fast I want to run, whatever it is. We forget to figure out when we're thinking about what we want to accomplish in our life, we need to know who we're going to be at the end of the journey. Because I can get a lot of you to lose weight. If I wanted to, I could put us all on some kind of batshit crazy diet. I could just become an Octavia rep and we could all get down all the time. I could get your weight off. But you would be a train wreck when you got there. And I don't want that for any of you. And I want you to know why you want it so bad, so that you are willing to have delayed gratification. So that when you have FOMO, you at least know why it's important to you to sit there and listen to all the things that your brain's going to offer about missing out. All of this is important when it comes to weight loss. It's more than just the number. Let's see. All right, we got a couple minutes left. Some of you are asking about how do I work on old shitty? You're like having, like getting like hung up on things. Lisa asked about neutralizing the number on the scale. There's a whole lesson inside of No BS in module 4 on that. I would suggest you start there. There's also a bajillion times that we have coached on that. So I would go over to maybe Mary Jo. You can go in and post a couple of links to coaching calls that we've done on that and the link over in module 4. Another person asked about having old shitty thoughts about their past. We have a rewriting your past worksheet over in the, if you go to weight loss resources, worksheets and more. There's a rewriting the past, plus it has a video where I coached coached on the process. I highly recommend you doing that. FOMO is fear of missing out, Helen. Also on that one particular one, for a lot of you who are like the thought work. One thing you can do is listen to module 2 and then immediately proceed to thought boot camp. That digs in even more on old shitty thinking that keeps coming back. Everybody who said I'm stuck in old shitty, that's your homework. Danny, I've taken something someone said about my child very personally. I would definitely do I would probably do the rewrite the past. I'm deeply hurt. And every time I go to journal about it, I get so angry. So just write about the thoughts that are making you angry. And then I feel as if I have to carry this like a cross. Do the rewriting your past on this one, Danny, for sure. If it was about me, it'd be different. All right, so here's a good thing for you to also write on. What makes it different between me and my child? And I guarantee it's going to come down to this. they shouldn't say things about my child. That is the most harmful thought any of us ever have. You know why? Because when people have said something, there's no more arguing with reality. It's like, they said this, and here's how I want to think about it. Divorcing yourself, all of you, from the idea that someone shouldn't have said something is the most important lesson of all. Because the moment you think something shouldn't have happened, you are automatically in pain. And it's already been said. It would be like me sitting here all day long pissed off that Luau jumped in the window. He's sitting over there right now. He shouldn't have gotten the window. It would be like me sitting around all day long. It's like the cat's in the fucking window. I got to figure out how I'm going to think about the cat in the fucking window. It is no different than words said about your children, about you, about your spouses. It's arguing with reality. And when you decide, it's like, they said this, and here are my thoughts about it. You drop the arguing with the reality part. You drop that part of anger. Then you can just go to work on the ones you are thinking. And you get to decide. Some of them you may want to keep. You might want to keep some of them. At least just know your thoughts. And decide, like, and I want to keep this one, even at my own expense of feeling bad. For now. What is wrong with just being like, I don't like it? If somebody says something douche about Logan, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's amazing. Now I feel really good about it. But I'm not going to sit around angry all the time either. You know what I'm going to do? Like, I don't like shit like that said about my child. And when I know I don't like it, then it's boundary time. But there's no sitting there that's thinking that they shouldn't. Shouldn't is a waste of time. You're not going to do anything about it. You're just going to sit there and be pissed and not journal. Like, here's what we like to do. We like to be so angry at what somebody else said that we don't even want to know our own words. We shut it all down. Somebody said something about your kid. Don't give them the power of you not feeling better about yourself because you're giving yourself the gift of working through your own thinking, because that's all you're doing. Is anyone allowed to be in person at camp? I don't understand how the virtual works. Can you help me understand how it all comes together? Yes, Peggy. So at camp, almost everybody's going to be virtual. We may or may not have 10 success stories that we invite. We're not 100% sure if we're doing that for January just yet. So virtual is where if you've been like on this call now, you won't be in the Facebook group. We will give you a link that you would click on. And then all day long, I will be on a stage in Nashville with, think about like, if you, have you ever watched Oprah? All of you. You've probably watched like Oprah or Ellen or the Kelly Clarkson show. Like, I don't know, whatever people watch these days. The doctors, things like that. I'm going to be in a studio and we're going to have camera crews and I'm going to be teaching all day long and it's like you're going to turn on the channel. Except the difference is that my audience will be at home. And then when I want to talk to someone from the audience, we're just going to bring them on camera on a Zoom call, just like we do when we do coaching. But it's not me just sitting in this room. We actually build out a stage. We have a full-on, I think we have 8 or 10 cameras. We have like short lessons that we play a video. And then we take you through a worksheet. So you get sent a package ahead of time that has your workbook included. And then you work on your worksheet. You will be able to see other people all over the place inside your room. And if you don't want your camera on, you just turn it off. We have a room. It's called the quiet room where nobody, like most people don't turn on their cameras and they don't chat. So it's just like a Zoom call. but done like Oprah show Ellen style, if you want to think about it that way. And it's way more interactive. So I teach a video lesson. We do a worksheet. And then I coach around that and answer questions. And then we move to the next thing. So it's all day doing that. It's very interactive, highly engaging. Y'all don't have to worry about sitting there getting bored and bullshit like that. I don't bore nobody. Y'all should know that by now. I mean, if you can handle this, you can for fuck sure handle virtual camp because it's done so well. Lots of interactivity and stuff is going on. All right, guys. That's it. And DJ Jerry is coming back. So we have a DJ, and what happens is like during the breaks, we play upbeat music and stuff so that some people can move around and things like that. He plays all through lunch. So you got kind of like an upbeat vibe going the whole time. And then during the worksheets, DJ Jerry plays worksheet music that I select, but he just keeps things moving all day long. It's really well done. All right. We are going to get out of here. I will be back with you guys on Saturday. No, wait a minute. There's lots of things going on. Friday, 10 a.m. I didn't get notes from anybody today. So let me write down, let's see. Friday, 10 a.m. in this Facebook group is the reveal party for the swag box. I'm going to be showing you some of the stuff you guys are getting if you register for camp. It's going to be exciting. On Saturday at 10 a.m. is doable holiday planning with me. And then coaching with me on noon Sunday. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're spending all of our time together, y'all. You can check your calendar over on pnptribe.com. You can go to the training calendar and you can see everything that's available for you. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.